Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. This is where we would normally bump in with the final call of an Astros game. Even a loss we would bump in with if it were exciting, but that was trash last night, man.
That was
a lot of time not well spent.
The Astros are destroying my marriage, Sean. I might be sleeping in your place soon. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Astros.
Well, this is why...
Brandy's a grumpy... I'll be careful because I'm trying to salvage my marriage.
Yeah.
She does not handle losses well at all.
I like that,
particularly
though.
Ugly losses. Yeah. Oh, you like it? That's nice. It's good for you.
No, I like
that. Good for you, pro wrestling fan Sean Pendergast. You love the drama. You love the misery.
That's why when Amy and I were looking at what high rise to move into, we're like, well, we got to get a 2-bedroom. And Amy's like, why? I'm like, Seth's marriage could fall apart at any second.
Because the Astros are going to be half a minor league team this year.
The window's closing, Amy. You know, like this.
Brandy and I had a long discussion about, like, I'm relatively calm, cool, and collected about death in general.
Mm-hmm.
I have a philosophical view to it, and she does not. So we had a long discussion the other day about, you know, how can she get more comfortable with with death, people dying, and the inevitability of it,
yeah, man,
and all. And I thought maybe it helped her a little bit. And then last night, the Astros lose an ugly game, and it's like this is worse than any. Worse than I've ever felt during when anybody's ever died. So I think all is lost, basically.
I start winning some games. It would help.
Astros, come on. Do me a favor and save my marriage.
Hashtag
okay?
Save Seth's marriage. That's the new... it used to be root.
She treats me like ass, man. She treats me like a dirty dog. When the Astros lose, I try to be nice and tender and everything, and she's just got no room or capacity for it.
Is it just losing, or is it like nights last night where they lose and they're just completely flaccid?
I think it's that. It's more than anything. When it's ugly, yeah. When it's kind of, I think that's where the coach in her feels like when you're a coach of a team and you put out a performance like that
where
nothing goes right. If I'm going to count my blessings instead of my curses, at least Jeremy Peña, Jose Altuve, and Josh Myers didn't all die on a collision. On a near collision in the seventh inning.
Yeah, dude. It's funny. Anytime something like that happens, I just blame Jake Myers immediately. Like I had my back turned to the TV. Amy was watching it. I was at the counter on the computer. And I heard the play. I heard Callis describing the play, and I turn around, and there's just three bodies sprawled on the field. And one of them's Jake Myers. I'm like, it's got to be Jake's fault. it's got to be.
Of course, you heard the dings. Those weren't positive reinforcement dings. That was my wife commanding me to say, make sure they know I'm not mad at the boys. My heart just can't take it.
Just at you. I got to look at your face while they're losing these games.
I'm not mad at the boys. I'm mad at your stupid face.
Your face.
I have my challenges too, man. I got into it on Alpha Male Twitter yesterday because I tried to explain to somebody why women don't like it when you walk past them and you say, hey, you should smile more. And of course, I tried to explain it from a woman's point of view. So of course, now I'm just a simp.
Oh, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Because I tried to explain to some dude why who insists that women should like this thing that most women really hate. I'm just being a simp.
You don't tip your toe in that water very much anymore. That's an interesting...
I know.
That's an interesting battle to go fight.
It was weird. I didn't fight the battle. Yeah. I left. I muted the tab. I was getting destroyed by real men, Sean. Real men.
Okay. See, that's good. That's growth. Like, you know what? I'm gonna throw a few punches and I'm gonna know when to bail and just make sure I stay in a good headspace. I like that.
Oh no, I wasn't even throwing punches. I was like, listen, women don't like it because you're telling them what to do.
Yeah. We'll circle back to the Astros in the next segment. The time well spent yesterday was waiting for all the push notifications to come about the Texans paring down their roster. I printed up all the cuts and the waivers and things like that, so I've got it handy. But I would say the biggest thing that played out, in relation to what we've been talking about the last few days, Cam Akers ended up making this team. So I almost, and British Brooks did too. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
You were psyched about that. You tweeted about that. You were excited.
It's the only thing that's saving my marriage at this point. British Brooks
as a quasi fullback.
Yes. That is an old school. I tell you, yeah, we'll get into British Brooks a little bit later. I do like what it might mean for Damian Pierce, though, too.
I do too.
Like Damian does best with a lead blocker.
Yeah.
And he's a genuinely, he's not. British Brooks, if they use him as a fullback, as they did in that last preseason game, he's not one of these new age hybrid tight end fullbacks.
Right.
6'3" dudes just cannot generally. It's really rare that they can get in and root out linebackers and defensive linemen the way a stout, shorter dude can.
Yep.
And Brooks has that in him, man. He's got dog. He's a genuine dog.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw two tweets from you yesterday. One, you were excited about Brooks making the team, and then you retweeted that video of him going low kneel on a guy, Lorenzo Neal, on that Rams guy. Dude, he knocked that guy the F out. Like, that was
And
that
it looked
was
like he wanted to throw a three-punch combo afterwards. He was like
pumped.
Standing kind of ready.
Yeah.
You know? It was like when a guy goes down and the boxer is still in fight mode.
Yeah, man.
You know, kind of like standing over him. That's what it looked like. It was beautiful.
British Brooks. So the Pierce and Akers thing. So Damian Pierce not dressing for the game on Saturday, seeming to be a made guy and making this team despite performing possibly the worst out of all the running backs in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unfair. Had been a big source of contention with Texan fans to where it's like, man, they need to trade him. He can't be on this team. And I think there was a genuine fear that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, that somehow maybe if they have a blind spot for Pierce, that it also bled into being a blind spot for Cam Akers being good.
And that
wasn't the case. And Cam Akers ended up making the team. And we'll wait and see what the first depth chart looks like, if that means anything. The first depth chart has Mixon 1, Pierce 2, Akers 3. People are going to be texting and freaking out about that, I'm sure. But for now, as long as Akers is on the team, I think there's a good chance Pierce is still on this team because they just haven't found a trade that they feel is a good trade yet to move
Damian
Pierce.
I do also think that right now at the beginning of the season, before injuries start mounting up, and I'm not saying in a drastic fashion, it's the NFL, there's going to be injuries, that you've got a little bit of room. You know, you've got a couple of your players parked on IR and Christian Harris and Kurt Heinisch who are eligible to return after week 4.
Yep.
So if what they're hoping for is that it just clicks for Damian, and especially, again, if British Brooks can be a more of an old-school, genuine fullback, except that also can be a receiver out of the backfield, can be used as a running back. He has that versatility. Then they might be able to do more of the things that Damian Pierce is good at.
Yeah.
And maybe he reclaims it a little bit. So I'm open to that as long as it's not sucking from the other position groups right now.
Yeah, like for now, now that Akers has made the team, that was my biggest fear, is they were going to keep Damian and cut Cam Akers. I wasn't fearful of it because I think, like, D'Amico and Nick are smart guys. They observe and see that Cam Akers is really good. For now, Pierce is really only keeping a spot from like Allie Gay, you know, or the sixth cornerback or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not.
That's the one.
I don't view him as a running back. I view him as a back end of the roster guy.
You'd usually, you know, 9 would be the standard number of defensive linemen you keep. That's not like a hard and fast rule or anything. But if you consider, okay, they're one shy on the defensive line right now, then at the beginning of the season. And I think both, if either Solomon Bird and Ali Gay or either of those guys can be on the practice squad, I don't think they'd be nervous about those guys playing in a regular season game.
No,
it's just a really packed defensive end roster right now. Like, and if Jerry Hughes wasn't here, I think maybe they would have kept one of those guys.
Well, D'Amico Autry's going to come back after 6 games, so you're going to have a numbers issue there when he comes back. And you're right. Like, Ali Gay, Solomon Bird are in that sweet spot of practice squad guys that, hey, you feel good if they have to. You know, you're okay if one of them has to come up and play a game, but you're also not fearful that some team's going to pluck them off your practice squad and put them on their 53-man roster.
Right. Yeah, both those guys, they don't necessarily flash in that, like, oh, wow, this guy might be a future Yordan Alvarez type of athlete or something.
Yep.
So, I'm comfortable with where the defensive line is right now.
Christian Harris on IR, you touched on that, so he's gone for at least 4 games. That's worrisome. Case Keenum done for the season. He had a foot injury that I guess he'd been dealing with all of camp, and he aggravated it enough against the Rams to where he is done for the year now.
It does nothing for the Texans right now, but I feel a little bit better for Case in that his throws were a little bit off in these last couple performances, and apparently the foot has been bothering him. It seemed like most of his completions in that Rams game were a little off, which gave the receivers an opportunity to Xavier Hutchinson, especially to showcase. Show a little extra. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He got that behind himself, but kept moving. So on the one hand, all right, well, it makes sense that Case was a little bit off, but also he's in an age where, these things tend to happen. You tend to get injured more.
They're definitely going to pick up a quarterback and put one on the practice squad just so they have one for scout team, if no other reason. So there'll be a quarterback coming in. I'm guessing Tim Boyle.
It might be Tim Boyle.
Yeah, on the practice squad. I'm guessing it's Tim Boyle. He got cut yesterday. As far as Case goes, I feel bad for Case, obviously. He's a Houston legend. I do the one thing, the one saving grace, and this may sound a little callous given he just got put on IR yesterday, but given the fact that Davis Mills has looked more like a real backup quarterback this preseason, what you were looking to get out of Case this year, for Dom, unless there was massive injuries at quarterback, obviously, but in a perfect world, what you were looking to get out of Case, you probably still get out of him, assuming he's in the building every day.
I would expect Case will be in the building.
Yeah.
I think he's... people have always talked about, at some point he'll be a great coach. You never know if a guy genuinely wants to go into coaching or not. It's a pretty big time commitment.
Right.
And he just, Case is an ultimate family dude. But for now, I think I would imagine he'll be in the building. He'll be around. He'll be a resource for those guys. And Andy might... It might be a nice little experiment for him to just try his hand at coaching.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if we hear stories about, Case is actually in the game planning meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this does give him an opportunity to, more thoroughly dip his toe in the coaching water if he's not focused on actually playing potentially.
Plus, as one starting quarterback once told me, Sean, after he got benched, checks don't change.
Okay. I need you to name names during the break. During the break.
It wasn't a guy I played with. It was a guy I knew. And I called him after. I was trying to bolster him up. And he was like, he didn't say it with that much. It was a little bit of an edge to it. He was kind of pissed, but he's like, checks don't change.
That's funny. That's good. Hey, man.
You got
to have a good outlook on it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the Astros. How's Justin Verlander feeling two starts into his return? Last night was not the best. Astros lose 5-0. Still 3.5 games up on the Mariners. The Mariners stink. They lost last night to the Rays, so thank you, Tampa. We'll get on the Astros coming up next.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.